Please take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. The world is made up of a lot of different personality types. Some people are the type A personalities, others are not so much, and I don't understand the other kind. But I do understand the type A personality, and as a type A personality, it's frustrating when things don't move along. It's frustrating when there's indecision. You know, for me personally, like when I'm torn between something, I don't like sitting there with an indecision. And so back and forth, do I do this? Do I do that? And what about this? And what about that? Hey, that's a normal process you got to go to. But at some point along the line, you got to make a decision so that you can move forward. And that's frustrating for someone like myself. Maybe you're not that way. I don't know. But I feel like God created us to act, to move forward, not to sit in indecision. In fact, in when it comes time to serving the Lord, what did Joshua say to the people? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve, right? We got to make a decision. We can't sit in indecision when it comes to the things of the Lord, and it's not profitable to be that way in regular life either. Otherwise, you just stay the same, and with some people, I suppose that's what they want, is just to stay the same. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, decisions need to be made. We need to act. God created us to act. And when it comes to truth, it's not up to us, or it's not. We don't have the right to decide for ourselves what is true and what is right. God has already told us what is true and what is right. We don't need to sit in indecision. God wants us to obey, and He wants us to act. Amen? It's the wise person who does the will of God, not contemplates, but actually moves forward. I think in our world today, men of action, especially in the Lord's work, is becoming increasingly rare. It's easier to just sit and be the same and go through the routines and do this and do that. This is just who we are. This is what we do. This is our life. This is what we've created for ourselves, when this is just who I am. And we kind of like it that way. And the problem is, if the Lord says it's time to change or it's time to move, we resist. We don't want to do it. And that's not a good place to be when it comes to the things of the Lord. And men of action in the Lord's work especially are becoming more and more rare. We got a generation, even in life, a generation after generation of laziness and inaction. And you know, it's frustrating if you ever go out to eat, you know, and you expect your waiter to actually do their job, and you expect service because that's what's supposed to happen, but it's almost like you can't even find people who are conscious enough to actually do a good job and serve and to be active, in their profession. And people of God who actually have some character and who do a good job and who are conscientious and who work, man, you know, they're either they're praised by their bosses because of their job, or, you know, the rest of their work fellows ridicule them and like, you make us look bad. You need to slow down and not work so much. Right? Seems like there's no character anymore these days in this world. And especially, you know, like I said, people of action. Well, I see this kind of a spirit in 2 Kings chapter 18 in a king named Hezekiah. And you're already there in 2 Kings 18, but let's just go ahead and begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was, it's really Abijah, you'll see that in 2 Chronicles, but Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. Prior to this time, so the Bible tells us that Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25, a relatively young man, and he reigned for 29 years, but the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then it lists several things that he did. Cutting down the groves and tearing down the altars and removing the high places and breaking the image of that brazen serpent that people were worshiping as a god. And he clave unto the Lord, and it shows all the things that he did. Now, prior to this time, why is that significant, all of the things that he did? Because prior to this time, Judah was full of idolatry and not worshiping and serving God. Look at chapter 17 in verse 33. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. Look at that double-mindedness right there. After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and the commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant, and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes, and the ordinances, and the laws, and the commandments which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. Note how many times he says this. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Note what the condition of Judah was like here. They were full of idolatry, and they served other gods, and the gods of the people around them had infiltrated and completely affected how the nation of Israel lived. Then you get to verse 1 of chapter 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea that Hezekiah began to reign, and things begin to change. You note that? What can we learn from Hezekiah here about taking action, even in our own Christian life? The title of the message here tonight is Dare to Do Right. Dare to Do Right. The first thing I want to point out to you, there's several things I want to point out from these 8 verses about Hezekiah, but the first thing is this, that he chose the right motive for his life. In verse 3, the Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Hezekiah chose the right motivation and the right motive for his life. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did not trust in his own heart. He was not guided by his own eyes and personal ambition. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know what? It takes some daring to live that way and to do right and to make your life line up with what is pleasing to God. Even in, listen, sometimes even in good independent Baptist churches, it takes some daring to make your life line up with the Word of God and that which is pleasing to the Lord, not that which is popular. That's the catch. All too often, we give in to peer pressure. Well, this is what everybody else is doing, and I guess that's the way I'm going to go too, because I want to be accepted. But is what the norm is and what everybody else is doing, is that the thing that is pleasing to God? You got to choose the right motive for life. I'm going to do what is pleasing in the sight of God. That is how I'm going to live, not with what's popular. Prayerfully, pleasing the Lord is what's popular, amen? You know, any dead fish can go downstream. Don't be a dead fish. That's the moral of the story. Who's going to stand up in the world that we live in? Who's going to stand up and decide that they're going to do right no matter what? Look at Proverbs chapter 2 with me. You need to choose the right motive for life. I'm going to build my life on that which is pleasing to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2, in verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Here we find that Solomon is talking to his son, and he's basically describing for him, listen, here's what your goal should be in life. He says that you need to incline your ear to wisdom. You need to apply your heart to understanding. You need to cry after knowledge. You need to lift up your voice for understanding. And he says, if you seek after that, guess what's going to happen? Verse 5, you're going to understand the fear of the Lord, and you're going to find the knowledge of God. The result of doing that is down in the latter verses, verse 8, where the Bible says here, that God keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He says, then you understand righteousness and judgment. Hey, listen, God is going to protect those who walk uprightly. He's going to preserve the path of his saints. And Solomon is telling his son, pursue after that which is pleasing to the Lord. What should our highest priority be in life? Spiritual goals, saint of God, church member, spiritual goals should be the highest priority in life, not the temporal things. Most are pursuing something, but one who seeks to please God as his highest priority and motive of life is going to find God's wisdom, and he's going to find God preserving his way. Ask yourself these important questions right now. What kind of success is most important to me? All right? Start here, and we'll have you give your answer. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to give your answers. Ask yourself the question right now, what kind of success is most important to me? What do I think of as success? And what is the thing that is the most important to me in life? Is it financial success, to have a big bank account? Is it personal success to be popular and to be well-liked? Is it relationships? Those are the highest priority and type of success in life? Or is it spiritual? What is it that drives you? Be honest with yourself. What is it that really drives you? The thing that you want the most. Is it spiritual? Or is it temporal? Ask yourself this question. If I could realize only one great ambition, what would it be? I think the things that come to mind, if we're honest, the things that come to mind initially are the real us. You understand what I mean? If I could realize one great ambition, what would it be? Is the first thing that comes to mind to have God glorified through my life, to have God use me to do amazing things for Him and for His glory? Even if it's little, little is much when God is in it. And if it brings God glory, it's great. Ask yourself this question. At the end of my life, what will have revealed itself to be the thing that was the most valuable? Did you understand that question? What will have revealed itself to be the thing that was the most value, of the most value at the end of my life? Wisdom, understanding, pleasing God, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Those are the things that should be sought after. Listen, as though they were valuable treasure. That's what Solomon says to his son in verse 4. He says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, finding a hid treasure doesn't come easy. It takes some work and it takes some diligence to stay after it and find it and dig it out. It takes motivation. What is the motivation for your life? Hezekiah chose the right motivation for his life. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible says that he didn't turn from walking after the Lord. He departed not from following him, but kept his commandments. That indicates to me that there was some real, you know, active, it was active on Hezekiah's part. It was intentional to follow after the Lord because he chose the right motive for life. The second thing is in verse 4. Go back there to our text in 2 Kings 18 and look at verse 4. Verse 4 says that Hezekiah, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. So here's Israel, or here's Judah, who is full of idolatry, who's not following and serving the Lord. Hezekiah comes on the scene and he begins to make a whole bunch of changes. Because, and it started, first of all, with the fact that he chose to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But the second thing here is that we find in verse 4 is that he put things in their right place. What does it say? He removed the high places. He break the images, cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent. You know what the high places are and the groves? Those were pagan places of worship unto false gods. Look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Here is a little more detail of what Hezekiah did. We find here that he caused all the uncleanness to be cast out of the temple, the house of God, and the vessels to be restored. Look at it here. Let's start in verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may be turned from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Skip down to verse 16. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. We get a little more detail about what Hezekiah did. Not only did he cut down the groves and remove the high places and broke the brazen serpent that they were worshiping, but then he took the things of God that had been cast away and he lifted those things up. He put things in the right place. The things that dishonored God were broken and cast down, while the things that were honoring to the Lord were lifted up. Let's make the application. We need to do the same thing in our own life. Are you with me here tonight? The things that dishonor God in life need to be broken down. They need to be cast away. The thoughts, the imaginations of the heart, the temporal living, the focus that's wrong, the things that dishonor God, listen, they need to be dealt with and they need to be cast aside. And then we need to put things back in their right place in our life to honor God and to worship God and to pursue after God. Oh, it's just a bunch of words I'm up here saying. Is it real? Is the Christian life really real to you? The hindrances to our service unto the Lord need to be removed. Examine your own heart. Are there no places, high places, and images in our lives that occupy a higher place than God? It's going to show and how we live every single day. It's going to show in the things that are the most important to us. Put things in the right place. Start by putting God first, always, in everything. That's where you start. Sometimes say, oh yeah, God is number one. God is first. But in reality, our job is work comes before the Lord, or school is, or fun is, or adventures in Alaska is, or relationships. All too often, those are the things in life that start to, if we're not careful, start to take a higher place than God. And we need to be careful to put things in the right place. And you start by putting God first, always, in everything. Amen. We can just stop right there. But we won't. Look at verse 4 again. Not only did he put things in the right place, but the Bible says that he called things by their right name. Look at verse 4. So we see that he removed the high places, he broke the images, he cut down the groves, he break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Like, what in the world does that mean? Here we find that Hezekiah called things by their right name. You know what that word Nehushtan means? It means simply this: a piece of brass. That's what it means. Here these people, listen, they were lifting up this brazen serpent and they were worshiping it as it was a god. And Hezekiah said, that's nothing. That's just a piece of brass. That's all that is. But some were calling it a god and some were worshiping it. You know, we got in religion today people who hold up their little silver crosses. You know? And in Catholicism, their Jesus is still hanging on the cross. And you know, we would say that those images that people hold are no different and no better than a brazen serpent. It's idolatry. But listen to me tonight when I tell you that fun and entertainment and adventure and all of these things can be just as much idolatry as a brazen serpent. Worshippers of money, worshippers of pleasures, worshippers of adventures, worshippers of worldly honor. They're as much idolaters as those who were worshiping that brazen serpent. And Hezekiah called things by their right name. He just said, you know what? That's just a piece of brass. That's all that is. Sometimes we need to call things what they are in our own life too. Call sin, sin. Not just, well, it was a moment of weakness. Call idolatry, idolatry, if it takes a higher place than God. These be thy gods, which control the affections of thine heart. Do I need to say it again? The thing that controls the affections of our heart, that is our God. Does he control the affections of your heart? Listen, we always make time and do what is most important to us. That's the proof. Hezekiah called things by their right name. But the other another thing that Hezekiah did, though, that made him successful, he was a man of action. He put his confidence in the right person. Verse 5 says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He put his confidence in the right person. Hezekiah caused a reformation here, a change in the way things were done. It was social as well as spiritual, because the turning of the people's hearts resulted in this, and it was something that was most definitely needed. They were on dangerous ground with God. But he didn't do it of his own accord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Listen, we have to realize at times that there are things that take a higher place than God in our life, and it's not reformation and more determination in our own life that's going to get the job done. We need to trust in the Lord. Call it what it is, confess it to God, ask for God's strength and God's help. Amen. Verse 6. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Here we find that he walked in the right path. I think the evidence of what was important to him was shown in how he lived. He didn't depart from following after the Lord. He kept his commandments. And listen, the application for us is, if we're going to abide with the Lord and if we're going to have the right relationship with the Lord, that means we need to be prepared to obey him when he speaks. Look at Matthew chapter 16. This is all part of discipleship. It's yieldedness and surrender and obedience to the Lord. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What is the thing that's an offense to God? Cherishing and savoring the things that be of men and not of God. But then what he says, look what he says in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is a must in order to have a right relationship with the Lord, to be willing and be prepared to obey him when he speaks. And listen, my friend, the way that we live is the evidence of our commitment level to Christ, not the words that we say. The way we live is the evidence of our commitment level to Christ. Walk in the right path. And the result will be the same as Hezekiah's. Look back in our text in chapter 18 and verse 7. What happened when he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him? What happened when he put things in their right place and sought to honor the Lord? Verse 7 says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. Here we find that Hezekiah enjoyed the right kind of success. Here's the right kind of success. He prospered, and the Lord was with him. Why? Because he sought and obeyed the Lord. Listen, you want your life to turn out? Determine to follow the Lord. You want your marriage to be happy and successful? Determine to follow the Lord. You want your children to turn out? Determine to follow the Lord. Well, just because I determined to follow the Lord isn't going to be a guarantee that they're going to turn out. Well, I can guarantee you they won't if you choose not to follow the Lord. Success is found when the saint of God determines to deny self and follow Christ. You want your businesses and your business opportunities and your business life to prosper? Determine to follow the Lord. Amen? That's how we enjoy the right kind of success. True success is always in line with the will of God. That's what Hezekiah experienced. He chose to follow the Lord, to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He dared to do right when the norm wasn't. What's the point? Well, the point of all this is that God has given to us the formula for success. God has given us his word because he expects us to obey it. He's commanded us, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, what's the proof of whether or not we love the Lord and will follow the Lord? Well, it's in how we live. There's always more of us that we can yield to God if we're honest. And what we need to do is take action and do it. Amen? Hezekiah was a man of action. He did a lot of things. Things that maybe weren't even popular. But the result was that he had success from God. He was pleasing to the Lord. We can learn some things for our own life through what we read about Hezekiah. Stand, determined to do right. Take action. Follow the Lord. Maybe it means there's some things that need to be cleaned up in our own life, some things to put back in the right place. Whatever is necessary, that's what we need to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these principles. Help us to be people who are determined to follow the Lord at any cost, to build our life on that which is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, not build life on what we think will bring us the most fun or entertainment or give us the most experiences. And there's nothing wrong with having experiences, and there's nothing wrong with adventures, and there's nothing wrong with business and all of those things. There's nothing wrong with them when they're in the right place, when you're first. But those things out of order become gods, become idols that we bow down and worship at, and it becomes an offense to God. Help us to be people to honor you, to always place you first. And Father, to be determined to not depart from your ways or your commandments, but strive to do them. And then we're going to experience true success in life and your blessing and your hand that would prosper us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for those reminders that help us to stay on track. We ask that, Lord, tonight you'd bless your people, strengthen us and grow us, that we might bring you more glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.